So, it's needless to say that Parshat Yitro is chock full of Ramban's set of Dibrot. I'll just add one thing though. Besides for the set of Dibrot being a set of Dibrot, Ibn Ezra, a set of Dibrot for some reason, wrote Ibn Ezra is uncharacteristically long and deals with many issues from above that he normally, if Ibn Ezra is usually very Pshat focused, set of Dibrot, he's very, very topical, the perspective is of the entire topic, and to a large degree, it's the Ibn Ezra's discussion of many of these topics. Katar Ramban also, it looked like this. It created an incentive for Ramban to think things over, and I think also some of the reason that he's so great. We'll take the one here on Zechot Yom HaShvat Lekadsho. It's a very well known Ramban, and also there's some. A bunch of issues, I hope we'll have time to see them all, I'm not sure. Sukhe, Zachot Yom HaShabbat LeKadisho. Chashit Tziva, Shina'amin V'Shem Yuchad Yidbarach, Shua Nimtza, Hua Borei, Hua Mevi, V'Hu, V'Yachol, ושנייחד האמונה בכל אלה והכבוד לא לבדו וציווה שנכבד זכר שמו ציווה שנעשה בזה סימן זגון תמיד הודיע שהוא ברא הכל ומצד השבת שיהיו זכר נעשה בישית. It begins with the first question or the first point, which is when you meet Asad HaDibrot, why is Zohar number 4? It was in the sequence of Asad HaDibrot, why is it number 4? Why Bichal is the part of Asad HaDibrot? The answer is readily obvious, which is that Shabbat is preceding Chazal, it's going hand in hand with Emunah. And of course, the more you emphasize the intimate connection between creation and belief, belief in God and creation, the more you have them as being one and the same. And so obviously, once you talk about Nuchi Hashem Elokecha, you then add immediately Zecher Maaseh Breishit. Get back to that in a second. So from his point of view, basically Shabbat, it begins with Nuchi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yechal Elohim Achim Apanai, which are two sides of the same coin. Then Lo Tisa, which relates to Shem Hashem. Shem Hashem means basically manifestation of Kadosh Baruch Hu, revelation. Shem is the identity that projects towards us. What's a shame? It's an identity that projects to the outside world. In this case, Shem Hashem is how he reveals himself to us. It's essentially a form of revelation, and therefore very basic. And the Isur of Lot Yisad Shem Hashem Kecha Lashav. It's for this reason that Shem Hashem is Betzim Yirat Hashem, or Lotisa is, if you want, both Kvod Hashem and Yirat Hashem. If the pasuk in Devarim talks about the Shemekach Tiravo Totavod Ubishmot Tishavea, because basically Yirat Hashem and Shvuah go hand in hand. Shvuah essentially means that I place my trust in Him. Let's say He's the bedrock of the foundation of my beliefs, and the reverse, of course, Shem Hashem Echel Hashav. So, A, it's a violation exactly of His bedrock, and also if it's Lashav and not Lasheker, that's Sheker. Lashav is also simply I don't treat it seriously. In other words, I don't take Him seriously. There's no respect, no dignity, or no mora. Now, what exactly is Shav versus Sheker? And that's a common shuras, the Dafchaf, and it's a complicated sugya, so we won't get into it now. But either way, Sheker is Chilu, right? Lo Tisachkech Hashav, Vechilat Hashem Elokecha, Ani Hashem, right? So there's Chilu Hashem involved. And the Chilu is because you're not treating it seriously, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a presence in your life if you treat him frivolously and nonchalantly. So therefore, it's Chilul Hashem. That's what Ben says here. Mitzvah shen chabed zeche shmo. So that's first of all zeche shmo. And but by the way, even utzach shayim levatala, it's not a shvua. Even just saying Shem Hashem without any reason. In the Gemara, it's darshif in the pasuk in Dvarim. It's in Perek Chavchet. No, excuse me. I think the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara has in the context of Shvua B'Shem, the Malkot of Shvua B'Shem, Im lo tishmor la'asot kol divrei Torah hazot haketuvim b'sefer hazeh liyirat Hashem hanichbad v'hanora hazeh et Hashem Elokecha v'yifal Hashem makotcha, etc. So the proper attitude and relationship to Shem Hashem is a basic point. The Rambam is the one who really emphasized this, because the Rambam, in his Minyan Mitzvah, right, the sequence that we taught in the Rambam, unlike Sefer Chinuch, unlike many others, is not by Parshat Shavua. It's right, the Rambam organized into groups, and there's a priority within the groups. The first group is Yisodei HaTorah, right, the most basic tenets of the Yahadus. Mitzvah number one is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and number two and number three are Ahava and Yirat Hashem. Number two is Yichud Hashem, Ahava and Yirat, three and four, Tefillah, Levachta Bidrachav, Shua B'Shem, and Dveikut, and then Kiddush Hashem. So the first nine, which open up the Sefer Mitzvos, include belief, Yichud Hashem, Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, Tefillah, Dveikut, and Shvua B'Shem. And clearly, the Rambam sees Shvua B'Shem as the part of the whole system, and it's basically Pesukim and Dvarim. The Shekhar Chatira, the Tota Avot, B'Shot Yishavea, or the Pesuk, the Shekhar Chatira, the Tota Avot, Uldafkab, these Pesukim go... Okay, then so Shabbat now ties into this. Of course, Al Pidin, there's one very well known halachic manifestation of this, which is the halacha that Chashav Sohesia is Mumar Chol Torah Kula. Because he's basically denying everything the Torah stands for. It's where Chulin Dafhem would be.
In my classroom, the key for the world.
What?
It's the wrong volume.
My key type, if I have a key with the whole shas inside, and it stays inside because of the key. The chalofen, the rest of this, the chal shas for Hesia is more chal tor kutz, more chun daf hemud bet, excuse me, hemud aleph. Rashi explains why, kya kofir b'shabbat, is kofer b'chol Torah kul because of this, because he denies Bria. And if you deny Bria, you then basically deny Munat Hashem as well. The other way of understanding that Gemara is to assume simply Shabbos is such an important mitzvah, the person has no qualms about Shabbat, has no qualms about anything else. And the is very simple. Besalevi has a whole tshuva about this. Mumar l'chalel Yom Kippurim. Theologically, Yom Kippur has to do with Briat HaOlam. Of course, in popular conception, in terms of a person's reservations of being an Isser or not, Yom Kippur certainly perceives being as chamor and probably more chamor than Shabbat. Many people will be careful to observe Yom Kippur and not Shabbat. So if the halacha is psychologically based, so certainly Mumar Yom Kippur is Mumar Torah Kula. If it's theologically based, so Shabbos is takes precedence over Yom Kippurim. And b'chol ofen, this is the Ramban's idea here, that from a theological point of view, Shabbat has to do with Briat HaOlam, Briat HaOlam with Emunah. Therefore, it makes an Aseret HaDibrot, slot number four. להודיע שהוא ברא הכל והיא מצד השבת שהוא זכר למעשה וראשית. What's interesting here is the obvious fact that actually Aser HaDibro doesn't begin with Zechem HaSeh Bereshit. And Chiyah Shem Alkecha Sherotzeticha Meretz Mitzrayim. It's talking about Zechem HaSeh Mitzrayim and not Zechem HaSeh Bereshit. The question is well known. Ibn Ezra here quotes the name of the Kuzari. Anyway, though, the Ramban certainly believes that Zechem HaSeh Bereshit is a basic idea. And even if the Torah describes Briat Hol, Mitzrayim in the beginning, nevertheless, Zechem HaSeh Bereshit should certainly have a prominent role. Regarding Ibn Ezra's question, there are two answers, it's like this, there are two schools of thought regarding that question. One is Ibn Ezra and presumably the Rambam and others that Enachanami would make more sense as saying, but for Am Yisrael, that generation, it made more sense to focus upon Tzat Mitzrayim. In other words, in theory, Batalam is would have been a better statement, a more profound statement, but for purposes of relating to a mass popular crowd, especially 2 months after Tzat Mitzrayim, it made more sense to emphasize the recent event. The other school thought is the Kuzari. Tzat Mitzrayim is more basic than Batal Olam. So without getting to the question, I'm not sure that you can send the Ramban what he thinks is, well, actually, you could say one moment. Yeah, if you look at the Ramban in the Ramban in the Parashat Bo, Zechet Tzat Mitzrayim, its crucial importance is because it's testimony to Briat HaOlam. So it's clear that the Ramban thinks the Briat HaOlam is the more basic, and Zechet Tzat Mitzrayim is simply a sign which maybe is more accessible to us, the Briat HaOlam, because Ruchu created the world. So therefore, obviously, the essence really is Brat HaOlam. Kuzari thinks that Tzat Mitzrayim is more basic to religious experience than Brat HaOlam, but that's because there's a whole different approach to what religious experience is. The Ramban at least, you can say that, yes, and Chesh HaKach Sheru Tzaticha Mitzrayim really means, and therefore, Teda Shabbat Yishmaim V'aretz, and therefore Shabbat fits in well with that statement. Okay, now let's move on to the next point. After he explains the sequence, he now goes on to discuss the phrase. Okay, now obviously there's a problem. And the problem is Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios have different texts or different messages. The problem is obvious to anybody who reads Shmos and Devarim. Chazal already deal with the issue. And the question now here is how to understand what Chazal mean and what exactly is Chazal trying to tell us. But then Ruba says Luchos Shnios were Chad Ne'emru. Just for a moment, before we continue the Ramban, just for a moment, go back to Ibn Ezra and read his observations on this. Vatad is a perek ha-pasuk aleph. Vatad daber zechov v'shamor. da ki atamim hem shemurim lo hamilot. I'm skipping here a bit. Okay, now Yitzchak yomer le'Esav, v'amrut hachacha nafshi b'terem amut, v'Rivka amra le'Yaakov, sheshma shema v'hachacha lifnei Hashem, lifnei moti, kmo b'terem amut, yim kem atam osi lifnei Hashem. He like this, that when Rivka paraphrases to Yaakov, or actually when Rivka relays to Yaakov Yitzchak's statement to Esav, she paraphrases. She doesn't quote exactly. Because Yaakov said, Yitzchak said, "Bavur tevarchecha nafshi," and Rivka says, "Varchecha lifnei Hashem." Yitzchak never said lifnei Hashem. So Beres explains that she's paraphrasing, because she's basically she's passing on not the literal quotation, but the essence of the meaning of the statement. Hatshuva ki he, that's what he says. Hatamim. Shemurim lo milot. We care about is the essence. No, it's the actual meaning, not necessarily the actual quote. He adaki tzlat nevila Hashem v'avracha shirev v'doch nevual kelem al Yaakov lifnei Hashem v'nehi kol mefaresh etam abracha. So Rivka included some interpretation into the statement because it's a correct statement, even though Yitzchak himself never actually used those words. V'kacha asa Moshe. Ki aseret ha-dvarim ha-ktuvim ha-parasha hazot divrei Hashem l'Esav le-Migrat. Okay, when you discuss the Zechor v'Shomer, there are two basic positions you can take. You can assume that the Ruchot always had the same text. Either or, presumably in Sefer Shemot. And Dvarim is therefore a paraphrase, interpretation, and makes various changes to their text. Or you can assume that Luchos Shniyos had different texts, Luchos Rishonos. That, one second. Not Luchos Shniyot. The other option is to assume that some form or another, the text is accurate in Dvarim and in Shemot, and they have to work out some way. How do you, you have to draw as a paraphrase or some kind of interpretation. You view as an accurate text as well. Then you have to work out some kind of accommodation. How can there be a seemingly a contradiction or a dual text? So either you come and say they're both true, Dibur Chad Nemru, and some kind of Nes or whatever, or you decide to create Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shniyos. And then you assume that Luchos Rishonos are one text and Luchos Shniyos are a second text. But anyway, in principle, your two options are to assume that one is the actual quote and the other is interpretation, or that they're both an actual quote, and then you have to somehow figure out how can you have two seemingly different texts, both of which are accurate. Ibn Ezra takes the first approach.
Meaning that these changes were...
He says, V'kach asa Moshe. So that Dvarim ha-ketuvim ha-parasha hazot in Yitro, Divrei Hashem, that's the actual quote, Bli tosefet u'migrat, verbatim. No, nothing's missing, nothing's added. Veheim levadam haktuvim l'chot habrit. Only they are written l'chot habrit, nothing else. Lo kasher amar hagaon ki zachor b'luach ha'echad v'shamor b'luach ha'sheni. There's a quote from the Gaonim here. But the luchos rishonos had zachor, luchos shniyos, I think that's what it means by luach echad and luach sheni. V'aseret haktuvim v'pashat v'etchanan. This is Ibn Ezra now returning to his own quote. Hein divrei Moshe. V'haraya gemara shesham katu pamayim kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Elokecha in the third person, not Anuchi Hashem Elokecha. No, it's kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. It's Moshe Rabbeinu talking in the third person. Dvarim is Moshe Rabbeinu. All separate Dvarim. It's like this. He's assuming the following. It's in Sefer Dvarim. The entire Sefer is Moshe Rabbeinu's report. Etc. So now the only question is, does Moshe Rabbeinu in his report insert sections which are verbatim quotations? Or does he paraphrase those as well? Because all of Dvarim is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Am Yisrael. So he could be talking to Am Yisrael and saying, and because Rachel said to me then, quote, or he could be saying, because Rachel said to me then, paraphrase. So it's not, there's nothing logically or hermeneutically difficult by saying it's Divrei Moshe. That's what he's assuming. So all of Dvarim is Divrei Moshe. So Sefer Dibros is also Divrei Moshe. Vida ki bachrit moach harosh hu azchira. Your memory is the back of your skull for them. V'makom makom mishmeret atzurot. Hine eschak od hashmira. Okay, now the Ibn Ezra is trying to explain why Shamor is the proper interpretation or paraphrase of Zachor. Now obviously, for him to do that, you have to assume that there's a connection between memory and saving information. Okay, anybody with a computer, so it's right, memory is a storage device and you save things on your memory, so Zechira and Shmira go together, right? That's his point here. Shata zocher et masha shamauta. To put it differently, Kibuchit Macharosh was Zechira, v'makom makom mishmeret atzurot. V'liya Zechira kolel et ha-shmira. V'tam zochor sheyizkor kol yom ezeh meshavua. Okay, now he then adds something else. This is important for the Ramban later on, if we have time to reach it. Take this. Zochor et yom ha-shabbat. Why? Zechira means here to remember, in the way Ibn Ezra understands, to remember, to recall, in order to observe. Shamor means to observe. Zachor means to recollect or to remember. So remember when Shabbat is, so you'll be able to observe it. No, it doesn't mean Zachor, the concept of Shabbat, but rather. V'tam zochor sheyizkor kol yom eize yom hu meshavua v'chozeh bavur sheyishmo yom ha-shvi'i sheyaseh bo melacha v'tam hazchira yashmira. In other words, the tachlit, the end, is really the shmira. The zchira simply facilitates the shmira. This of course makes it a bit problematic with his previous claim. If that's the case, it should have said in Shema, it's Shamor, and Moshe Rabbeinu should have told him zochor, not the reverse, presumably. At any rate, v'kasher amar Hashem zachor heviru kol ha-shomim ki tamo kmo shamor ke'ilu bevat echat ne'emru. Okay, then we get to talk here about zechitzat mitzvayim and zecher masa v'shit. Okay, let's go back here. But now, ובתן אמרו בזה זכור בשם דיבור אחד נאמרו ולא הקפידו בשביל אחרים שהתחלפה להם והכוונה להם זר כי זכור מצוות עשה ציווה שזכור דיבור שבאת לקדשו ולא נשכחי ושמור אצל מצוות לא תעשה שוקו שמר ישם מפן ועל ינו לא תעשה יזהיר ששמור דיבור לקדשו שלא לחלליו ואין ראוי למשה שכי דיבור השם מצוות עשה ומצוות לא תעשה. What Rabban is saying here is the following: that Zachor and Shamor are two totally different concepts. Zachor in Chazal is not a means to an end. Zachor is an independent value in of itself. Zachor is mitzvah asay, which means Zachor is inherent value. The Rabban doesn't think Zachor is some kind of it's not a mitzvah to help you achieve another mitzvah. It's rather Zachor is the idea of Shabbat. It's dignifying Shabbat. It's the idea of Zechem Aseh Breshit, and so on and so forth. It's mitzvah Aseh. Shamor is mitzvah Lo Taseh. Shabbat has an Aseh, Shabbat has a Lo Taseh. Moshe Rabbeinu would not, the Ramban's not bothered when Moshe Rabbeinu makes minor stylistic changes. He adds a vav, he removes a vav, things like that. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, it's inconceivable that he would basically take a concept and transform it from an essay to a lotase, or put differently, he would introduce, he would replace what the Kadosh Baruch Hu said with a wholly different concept. And that's, he thinks, what's happened with Zachor v'Shamor. Because Shamor and Zachor are not differences in style. It's a huge difference in substance. So the Meile, that's his claim here. The Ein Uilu Moshe, now this of course is Elbot Ibn Ezra, right? This is basically the polemic of Ibn Ezra. The Ein Uilu Moshe, Shechiv Divrei Hashem Tassim Zalotas. The whole idea that Moshe Rabbeinu is paraphrased is Zachor v'Shamor, you can't get away with that. אבל אם יחליף את דיבור השני וכל תמונה ואמר כל תמונה בחיסרון וב והוסיף אותה בבעל שילשים וכן כי הצבע זה משל הדיבור ביג דיר אין בכך כלום כי הכל אחד so he's not bothered by the vav but he's bothered by Zachor v'Shamor and therefore he's basically rejecting Ibn Ezra והטעם הזה Apparently, Chevelle here thinks that Tamazeh means Zenit Ibn Ezra. Can he? I think he's right. But Tamazeh, I'm not sure. But I think something seems to be missing here. Tamazeh, like what you're missing here is like what that Ibn Ezra claimed. Tamazeh Shatana Ibn Ezra, something like that, right? Or Tamazeh Shamar Bi Avraham Mashukazeh. It could be he's concealing it because he's about to make a very strong statement here and he sort of wants to conceal Ibn Ezra's identity. I'm not clear. He's also, it's a bit of a pun here. Right? Ibn Ezra said, Tamim Morim Ha'inyan Loha Lashon. Right? Tamim Morim Loha Milot. Right? So there's a pun over here, right? You missed the Tam, not the Milah here. V'atam Hazeh. Lo yisbol oto el mishnah or gibbo talmud. Presumably, because mishnah or gibbo talmud is unaware that Zachor and Shamor, I consider by Chazal to be totally different ideas. If you're gibbo talmud, you know that Zachor and Shamor are functioning in the sugyas as whole different mitzvot and whole different concepts and different chiyuvim and the like. Zachor and Shamor in the Gemara are similar to lo tochal chametz, shiratim tochal matzot. The whole different ideas. The tam hazeh lo yisbot avi shelo ragiv Talmud umefurash amru mashicha bekidush hayom dvar Torah. So clearly, Shema and Zechira, separate concepts. There's some relationship between them. If it wasn't a relationship, we wouldn't have this drasha. But the relationship nevertheless means, if you darsh, you know, Shmira is one thing, Zechira is something else. Zechira is not Shmira is not a paraphrase of Zechira, or Zechira is not intended to facilitate Shmira. They're two independent ideas. Independent with some kind of relationship. It's an Ashikha Bishmash, who comes to the seal of the law, you have with Zchash, but that says, Van Kermash, you betrayed El Shakesh, the Mechayevota. Okay, so now let's assume that he's attacking, I think Rav Shmuel is probably right, he's attacking Ibn Ezra. It's not clear also Ibn Ezra how much he's Ragibla Talmud. And it's, if Ramban is really stating this, it's quite a strong statement. If Ramban is basically telling us that Ibn Ezra didn't know the Shas, so therefore he wasn't, didn't know, but wasn't fluent in the in halakhic thinking, so he makes this claim. I don't know, he doesn't quote him by name, he doesn't say it black and white. I don't know how much he thought. Broadly speaking, Ramban has respect for Ibn Ezra. And I don't know. All I can say is that, and what's more, it may be that maybe the few words missing here, I don't know, but b'chol mikra, it's presumably not, but certainly maybe because of the sensitivity, he really left it at that. But his opinion at the end of the day is clear, that the Zechor v'Shamor and the Kshas are clearly separate concepts, and no one's kacha familiar with the way, you know, with the sugyas would make this claim that you can separate the two. But the way Ibn Ezra has to be so upset by that, Ibn Ezra can claim that, how, you know, Ibn Ezra can make the claim that Parshanut works in a whole different plane than Medrash, Midrash Halacha works in one plane, Pshita Shemikra works in a different plane, and he doesn't necessarily have to be so upset by this. He can say, you're right, in the Medrash it's one thing, and in the Pshat it's something else, and I see Pshat and Medrash as working in different spheres, and Enochut Nogad Bechavrta Kim Lo Nima.
And how does the Rambam deal with the two texts?
Next line. Okay, so thanks for the assist. I'll move on. V'ani tamea im nomar zochav shal pi agvura lama nechta b'chot av yishonot. So what goes on now? So with it, if because Rachel said zochav shamor. By the way, this. I like the graphic skills, but there's a very nice there's a nice graph in which you make a shin in which the middle leg is a zayin, and you get sort of like Zechor v'Shamor, and I'll show it to you at home once. If I may, I'll bring it next time. But you can almost work them out and they pretty much go together. B'chol ofen, if you take it literally, right, so it's just said Zachor, and some of Zachor, line Shamor, whatever, in both of them. V'nitameya, in ma Zachor shem piya gvura, lam leichta b'lchot ha-vishonot. Okay, so now he takes the issue head on. V'itachen, sheha b'lchot ha-vishonot u'bashniyot katuv Zachor, like Ibn Ezra, u'moshe peresh li'Yisrael, Kishamor ne'emar imo. What's the difference? Ibn Ezra claims a paraphrase or interpretation. Rabban says Tosh Val Peh. That there was Zachor, but the Shamor is a Torah Shabbal Peh which accompanied it. So therefore, the written statement was Zachor, but it was accompanied as a parallel concept, not as an explanation, but as a parallel concept. Shamor went together. So Moshe Rabbeinu then recorded this in Dvarim, but in other words, to put it differently, the text in Dvarim doesn't reflect what was written in the Luch HaShniyos. The text in Dvarim reflects what Moshe Rabbeinu told Am Yisrael, including the Torah Shebaal Peh which accompanied it. V'zeh kavanatam be'emet. Okay, let me just for a moment read to you a Gemara Bava Kamma, which has some bearing in this as well. It's a very enigmatic or cryptic Gemara, and just for yourselves, it's definitely Hamud Aleph. Sha'ar bichanina ben Agil et bichia bar Abba mipneima בדיברות הראשונות לא נאמר בהם טוב, בדיברות האחרונות נאמר בהם טוב. In Luchos Rishonos it doesn't say טוב, in Luchos Shnios it says טוב. Meaning, in Luchos Rishonos it's etc., etc., and it never mentions the word Tov throughout the Sefer Divros. In Dvarim it says, so the Tov, the Man Yitavlach, is missing. I read again. Tema b'dibrot harishonot l'nar ben tov, b'dibrot hachon l'nar ben tov. Amar lo, ad shata sho'aleini l'nar ben tov, She'aleini in the mavem tovim lav. She'eini yodei mavem tovim lav. Klach lecha itzav b'chatach u'machanila asher gil tzav b'yishob en lei v'shabaki ba'agada azal l'gabei amal lo mimenu lo shamati lakach amal yishob anachum achi imo shav acha b'bichanina v'ami le'avi imo shav achi b'bichanina ho'i v'sofan l'ishtaber. Quite a fuss about whether it says tov or not when you just open a chumash and look it up. The question was very simple, quite straightforward. Here it says lo yitav lach, and here it doesn't say yitav lach. He goes, this long discussion whether I'm not sure or not, but if you want, ask him. And Rashi says, he goes off in this long statement. I'm not convinced whether it says or not. Just a second. So Tosin Bar Batra Daf Kufit Gimel say Pe'amim Shloi Bukim Apsukim. The way the Shibach not knowing Psukim is not a new phenomenon. V'chei Mitzi V'sof Shosh Anach Zapara V'pei Man Lema V'divot Achrono Tov Ma Shosh Achita Sholeini Shodev etc. Okay, and then Tosin we resume the discussion in Bar Batra about whether or not to do Psukim about Yerusha. Anyways, Tosin assume it's simply lack of familiarity with the psukim that caused him to say, I don't know. It's very strange. First of all, it's a Sisa Dibra, so we're not talking here about Dibra Yomim. Secondly, beside that, let's say he doesn't remember the Torah, but let's say he doesn't remember the Chumash Baal Peh. He asked him, once he asked him, he could look it up. In other words, he should have said to him, I kneel there. And he should have said, he should have gone, said, one moment, checked it up, and then given the answer. It's hard to assume that the Gemara wanted to record for our posterity the fact that he knew Chumash. I heard once, I forget the name of who, maybe it's the Marshal, but I hear from one of my Hesker Rabbein Bechalov, and the dilemma is very simple. The dilemma is whether Luchos Shnios, what was written in Luchos Shnios? What was written in Luchos Shnios is the text of Dvarim or of Shmos. The questioner assumed that Luchos Shnios reflect the text, the phrase of the word is Dibros Achronos, but the dialogue revolves on the question of the Luchos. But the question assumed that the Luchos Rishonos are Dvarim, Luchos Rishonos are Shmos, Luchos Shnios are Dvarim. The reply, Eini Yudeya, is that I'm not convinced with the Luchos Rishona, with the Luchos Shnios, are Shmos Dvarim. In other words, Ibn Ezra is convinced that Luchos Rishonos are Shmos and Luchos Shnios. So is Ramban. He is less convinced. He says, the questioner assumed that they're the same. And the reply, Eini Yudeya, means, Aneni Batuach, if Luchos Shnios had the text of Dvarim and the text of Shmos, the answer assumes that Luchos Shnios had the text of Dvarim. So it's a very nice interpretation of the Gemara. It makes sense into a very enigmatic exchange, and it's certainly much more convincing than the Tosfos there. So if that's the case, maybe the Chazal were deliberating this issue themselves. So let's continue on Ramban. Umidoshosh Michui ben Akane Kabbalah. His skiru od sod gadol v'zochov v'shamor. Ramban kedarko won't. He wanted too much to expose sodot. And Ramban had a policy of concealing sodot, as he notified us already in the introduction. To the extent that he reveals that, he does it very cryptically, and he goes out of his way not to try to explain. Unlike Leder Mekubalim, Leder Mekubalim thought that since Kabbalah was the truth, it was a mitzvah to disseminate it. The fact that Kabbalah was the truth, it was a mitzvah to conceal it and to reveal it only to select individuals, very select individuals. V'laklaz. This is about b'derech klal, the basic principle. I'll tell you, but not more than that. V'laklaz. Tia zechira ba'yom v'ashmira ba'layla. V'zeo mamar chachamim shomim b'er Shabbat boi kala boi kala. Bo v'n tzedi krat Shabbat malka kala. V'yikru v'katim kiddush haraba shua kiddush hagadol v'tavin ze. Okay, the basic idea here is the following. A, there's a premise that Shabbat can be divided into different units. And that different units have different spiritual, metaphysical, whatever we'll call it, principles. In other words, that Shabbat, the little Shabbat and Shabbat during the day have a different, are different in terms of the character of the day. In other words, if you want the metaphysical character of the day, they reflect different ideas. To some degree, we're all familiar with this nowadays because subsequent to the Ramban, the Torah popularized this idea. The idea appears already, if I remember already, in early Rishonim, before the Ramban, but the one who popularized this was the Torah, that you have three Shabbatot. Atakidashta, Yismach Moshe, and Ata Echad. Atakidashta is Zecher Maaseh Bereishit. Ata Yismach Moshe is Zecher Mitzrayim / Matan Torah, and Ata Echad is Shabbat Yomot HaMashiach, Shabbat Latid Lava, Yom Shukol Shabbat Menucha Lechei Olamim. Because of course in Shabbat we have something which is unique. We have a different Shemoneh Esrei for each unit of the day. Unlike Yom Tov, for instance, in Yom Tov we have Atav Echatanu throughout, in Rosh Chodesh Av Yalev Yavol throughout. Shabbos and Yosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is also the same. Shemoneh Esrei repeats itself. Only Shabbos is only Shabbos has different nuschos for different parts of the day. One approach is this is stylistic and explains this in terms of more style and variety. The other approach is that's very basic. That different parts of the day reflect whole different ideas. The Torah talks about a threefold element. Ramban's talking about day versus night. That zechira bayom, shmira balayla. Now he has explained here what zechon shemor. Zom amar chachamim, boika and say kach shabbat malka kala. This goes and this is famous. With the idea that ba bo bam, right? That basically Mekubalim in general talk a lot about the active versus the passive principle, or in their phrases zachar in the keva, in other words duchra and nukva to be more accurate, and Shabbat kala, the evening is Shabbat as receptacle of kedusha. Particularly Shabbat, the evening is Briat HaOlam, is Zecher Maaseh Bereishit, in which essentially the Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. In other words, the world is passive and the Kadosh Baruch Hu creates it. That's the idea of Nukva, of receiving, and that's the Kratz, why it's the Kratz Kali, Kratz Shabbat HaMalkah. Shabbat is representative of the world receiving its existence with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's the female. In Nukva, in the morning, so you emphasize dafki human activity. What's more, you emphasize the duchra, the zachar. Now, of course, zachar and zechira, zechira, zachor and zachar are the same root. So in Shabbat HaBoker, you emphasize the zachrut, the activity. I assume it goes together with the idea of Zecher Tzav Mitzrayim, in other words, that acting within history. There's action, there's, for differently, once the world is, if you want, let me say it differently, once the world is created, it's time for man to go out and develop it. So you, the original starting point, the world is created, and when it's created, so you're passive, right? The world is created, but stage B, after it's created, you're given a mandate, l'ovda u'lishomra. You're taught to develop the world, you're taught to transform it. History, of course, is a prime example of that. And therefore, stage B is the more active element. Let me just qualify all this. The fact that Ramban says here that day and night are different principles is black and white. The fact that the Mekubalim spoke about Duchra Nukva Ba Bo is also well known. Up to that, I'm willing to take responsibility. I told you it was accurate. The interpretation later on, that's my speculation. I don't know exactly, I don't claim to have, be able to tell exactly what the Mekubalim meant. I'm just trying to make it, looks like this, to take their concepts and make it accessible and understandable to us. Whether they meant it or not, and lo yedea, lo batuach, I won't say lo mishaneh, but I'll say that, at least for us, the idea of the world in of Shabbat reflecting man's relationship to the world, the world's relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and on one level you're passive because everything was created by Him, capital H, and you see the world, that certainly is a nukva, and stage B, gone or active. Whether now, to me, it seems reasonable to tie this into the part I mentioned before that some Mitzrayim history as opposed to creation itself. But I don't guarantee that they necessarily made the connection. Take it all, Beiravon, Mugbal, and no liability. Okay, now this is an interesting point here. Rabban is adding the following. That in the Gemara, right, there was a famous story about Kiddusha Rabba. Okay, the Gemara is the following story. Psachim Kuvav. It tells there that in Shabbos we make Kiddusha Rabba. My Kiddusha Rabba. There's a story about one of the Moraim who we didn't know. He came to Shul, and there was a Kiddush, of course, after Minyan, and they told him to make Kiddusha Rabba. And he had no idea what Kiddush HaRabba was as opposed to regular Kiddush. So he began to say Bar Piyah Gafen, and he didn't know what to do afterwards, so he just made a very long and apparently he did a lot of Chazonis and Bar Piyah Gafen, and he made a long drawn out bracha, at which point one of the old people in the Shul said Amen. So he realized that was all that all was expected was Bar Piyah Gafen, and he sighed a sigh of relief, and everybody had to kugel. And the Kitzur, Kiddusha Rabba, is only Bar Piyah Gafen. So why in the world is it called Kiddusha Rabba? So the Rashbam, and maybe Rashi also, but the Rashbam says over there, it's Lashon Sagina Ho. It's quotation marks. In other words, it's not really Kiddush. It's Kiddusha Rabba is a way of saying Kiddush Katan Ve'aluv. Just a nice way of saying it. That's the usual interpretation of the phrase. Rabban takes it here, at least in his parshanut cap, and not in his halachic one. Rabban takes it here as being much more basic. Kiddusha Rabba really means there's inherent kiddusha for Shabbos. In other words, that the Kiddush Shabbos morning is a real kiddush, and it's very important. Kiddusha Rabba kishmo keinu, because the morning introduces an element which is lacking in the evening. Now this is, I don't think I have time to do this now, maybe B'linat or Masai Shabbos show, I'll devote to this. he talks here about Kiddusha. First of all, there's a need to make a new Kiddush Shabbos morning. It's problematic. Why make Kiddush Shabbos morning? You ready to make Kiddush Friday night. So if Shabbos morning represents a whole different element than Friday night, it's obviously a new Kiddush, because it's a new principle. Secondly, it's Kiddusha Rabba, because he thinks that the Zechira is a very important and basic idea in the Shabbat. So it's obviously a very important Kiddush, because the Zechira is very important. V'tavinze. The man recognizes that his claim here is a chiddush, or it's far-reaching. So it says Tavinza Kiddusha Rabba really has a deep meaning. V'metu gamkein ki midat zochor rimazo b'mitzvat asei v'ayutsei midat ahava v'hu midat harachamim ki ose mitzvat adonav v'hu v'lo v'adonav mirachem alav. ומידת שמור, מצד לא תעשה, ומידת הדין ויצא מידת העירה, כי נשמע לעשות דבר רע, בעיני אדם יירא אותו, לכן מצוות עשה גדולה, מצד לא תעשה, כמו שמה גדולה מהעירה, כי כן עושה בגופו ממונו, רצוע דניו, הוא הגדול, מהנשמע לעשות דבר רע בעיניו, This is a very well-known statement of the Ramban. First of all, he tells us that Zachor and Shamor are representative here of, or they derive from more basic concepts of Aseh and Lot Aseh. And then the Ramban goes, takes a step further, that Aseh and Lot Aseh basically reflect two more basic approaches to Avodat Hashem in general. That Aseh, that Essin, reflect midat ahava, and lotas midat hayira. Whether he's saying it categorically or most of the time, I'm not sure. But his basic claim is that mitzvot asay have to do with ahava and mitzvot lotas hayira. No, to put differently, mitzvot lotas, the reason that you're that you observe them is because you're in awe of the Kaddish, you're in awe or in fear of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Actually, he emphasizes here less the idea of awe, more fear. There is, you know, there's certain regulations, you know, there's certain rules, you're not supposed to violate them. If you do so, you're rebelling against Kaddish Baruch Hu's authority. The basic position is one of authority. And therefore, you have to be careful not to transgress the rules that the omnipotent authority lays down. It's midat hayira. On the other hand, midat ahava is done in a sense of identification. You identify with the ideas. You are. You feel close. You. His phrase here. But basically, it's what I say you do because you identify with the ideas, you also feel much closer, because it's not that a sense of awe, it's not a sense of intimacy. Even the Ramban here, I think, it talks more about identification, maybe, that you believe in the ideas. You know, it's not simply because they're being imposed upon you, but you believe in them and you identify with them. He's emphasized this more than the intimacy as opposed to the awe. And therefore he claims mitzvot asay are gadol the mitzvot lo taaseh. Conversely though, the punishment of mitzvot asay lo taaseh is much greater. The way he has the system is like this, and I'll do this briefly because time is running out. Mitzvot asay override mitzvot lo taaseh, because they're a higher level of religious observance. In other words, the avodat Hashem, the religious experience, is greater mitzvot asay. So therefore, an essay is doche lo taaseh. It's not technicality. According to Ramban, it's a very basic decision. In other words, the halacha of essay doche lo taaseh reflects a much more basic decision about what Avodat Hashem is all about. That's the one hand. On the other hand, the punishment in lo taaseh is dafka is much worse for the same point. The more basic something, the more basic something is, you violate it, the greater the punishment. In other words, the more elevated it is. So if you don't observe it, lo nora. In other words, we expect everyone to follow the rules. We don't expect everyone to identify with the rules. So if you, if you act out of yira, but not out of ahava, you are right with the, you know, it's, at least you recognize the authority, you accept the rules, you just don't identify. So the complaint, so to speak, against you is much less then if we rebel against the authority. Because that's the nine most basic level, the most basic level of mitzvot. So therefore, lo taaseh, unless, he says, do the essay because you deny the Kadosh Baruch Hu's authority as a mitzvah. In other words, if you deny the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the mitzvah, then he thinks the essay is just as bad. So he says, therefore, lo taaseh, you always pay the price for it. Essay, you're not punished unless you're moreid. Now,
how could you?
What?
How could you be doing it, but doing it because Hashem didn't command you?
No, he says, well, friends, if you have Mekayim, an essay, show from Milutei Avon, So you, in that case, there's no, you don't put tefillin because you're lazy. Or you miss Bankriyat Shema because you're lazy. So his point of view, there's no punishment. I mean, obviously you're not motivated and you don't identify with it strongly enough to make the effort, but you're not punished. But you say, I won't say Kesha because I deny the Kodesh Baruch, that, or I deny his authority to tell me what to do, then things are punished. Lotas, it could be that every time he transgressed, that's an implicit denial. Or maybe thinks that's the impression I get here. Or maybe just thinks that it's more severe the Surim. What's interesting here is the Ramban thinks it's a punishment and a sin. That's very, in the Gemara it's far from clear. The Gemara quotes over here, normally we understand it to be like this. If you didn't refuse to do a mitzvah's essay, will coerce you into doing it to achieve the goal of your doing it. But if you refuse to take a lulav, I will force you to take a lulav. I won't punish you. I will simply impose upon you the kira mitzvah. And if you refuse to sit in the sukkah, I'll schlep you into the sukkah. But it's not, you know, it's not a punishment. The man says no. The man says the person is denying his brother's authority. So either we'll punish him or force him to accept his authority. But he sees it as a punishment and not only as simply to force him to do the right thing. It's quite a big chidush. It's not the way it's normally understood. Okay, b'chol ofen, we'll stop here because we don't have time. Go rethink this thing here, whether the lot haseh are too basic or, I mean, a lot of haseh is not the time to think it over. I think that we might continue to see.